Welcome to Under the Radar with Travis McLeod. My guest tonight is my good friend Joe DiStefano, who, if you are familiar with my music, you might know because he used to play music with me. But he is also in several other bands, and it's been a good long while since I've talked to him on the phone, in person, or anything other than just Facebook. But that's sort of what's been happening so far with these interviews, and it's nice to get back in touch. So tonight I'm going to be talking to him about just kind of his musical history and playing a few of his songs and just kind of catching up. So anyway, without further ado, how's it going tonight, Joe?
Fantastic, man. How are you doing?
Doing all right. I think I finally got this setup working here. So.
Yeah, man. Like, we're going to be starting our thing November 7th, and we're probably going to make it a web show for a little bit until I put up more money to actually, like, stream it.
Yeah.
So it's, like, a whole learning process, but it's cool that you're doing some DIY podcasting. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few people that have gotten into it that I thought were, you know, I started listening to, like, Stone Cold started up a podcast and Tom Green, and I thought, you know, they didn't come from that background, but they've kind of made a successful run at it, and it sounds like it's not too hard to get into, so figured I'd give it a shot.
Yeah, man, the good ones are just people bullshitting for a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, that's
pretty much all, like, radio is anyway, you know?
Yeah, like, that's, like, the best part. Like, yeah, so much of TV and stuff feels so forced, even radio.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, the big difference with, like, podcasts is it's, like, you know, if you're on, like, a good podcast, it almost feels like there's some, like, friends talking in the other room. It's, like, a little bit comforting.
Yeah, it's just, like, can you relate to what's happening, you know?
Right on, man.
So, well, let's see. I forgot to mention that in the beginning, but yeah, you're starting up a show too. It's called Dad's House Confessions.
You got it.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Basically, me and my buddy Randy Haverstick, who I played music with for a little while, and we've been friends for a long time, we always realized that no matter what group of people we have, when me and him are in the room, there's a group of people, everyone's fucking laughing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, dude, I'm like, all the crazy shit that we say that goes uncaptured, why not capture it?
Yeah.
And it kind of evolved into this. Like, after my dad passed away, I broke up with this crazy girl that I was engaged with, and I ended up back at my mom's house. We had started a family business, and the garage was vacant, and I was like, fuck it, man. I'm going to make a little podcast studio in here, and the reception to, you know, from people has been awesome. Like, I get messages from strangers who, you know, like the weird shit I post on, you know, Facebook, and it's an outlet for comedy and projects. And, you know, I did stand up for a little while, and I'm getting back into that. So it's just a great place to, like, you know, be raw and real and just talk about what the fuck's going on and have some laughs and bring some people on.
Yeah. I know that you have a trailer up on YouTube, right?
We have a few trailers. There's video clips of me poorly chopping through some acoustic songs. Like, every show, we're going to throw an electronic drum set in here and have jams and, like, just kind of like you're hanging out in my garage. It's just everyone's kind of smoking, drinking, having a good time, jamming, bullshitting about things, you know. And, you know, we just wanted to do something that was, like, real loose, but touched on any subject. Like, we didn't really want to, like, sugarcoat anything. We wanted to be real and raw, and, you know, maybe if anything, have people that listen to it and watch it maybe open up more in their lives. Like, that's probably the only, like, aim of it as far as any kind of, like, vision, because, you know, it's just us fucking hanging out, but so many people feel like they have to be a certain way and fit into, like, an archetype, and it's about being loose, you know. Dad's House Confessions, like, get whatever's on your chest off of it.
Yeah, it seemed like, I mean, I only saw that one trailer, but it seemed pretty, like, I wanted to see more when it was over.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, we were actually just in the middle of sitting there talking about dreams, and I just hit the record button on the program I use, and we just went for a while, and then I stopped it at an abrupt point, and we slapped it together to see what it would look like, you know, because we're really green at all this, but Randy's the one who knows how to actually do things.
Yeah.
I just know how to talk, you know?
Yeah, I'm finding that out, too. Like, I know, you know, this is only maybe the fourth or fifth time that I've done this, but, you know, even just, you know, it's like anything. The more that you do it, you sort of say, oh, well, I screwed that up last time. Let's try it this way this time. You know, eventually, like, I feel like things are going, even though I'm still sort of feeling it out, things are still, they're getting smoother every time.
Yeah, man, well, practice makes perfect.
Yeah. So yeah, man, I'm enjoying it so far. And, and then the other thing I'm really enjoying, too, is, like, you know, so far, I've pretty much just kind of interviewed my friends, and, you know, like I was saying in the beginning of the show, like, a lot of these people, like, I haven't, like, talked to them. I mean, I've talked to them online and stuff, but I haven't heard their voice and vice versa in, you know, a good 10 years or so. So it's really cool to kind of get back in touch, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, it's amazing how, like time will take you down the road, and you'll be like, you know, someone that you saw every, you know, fucking day. It's like, I haven't seen this cat in 8 years, you know?
Yeah.
It really settles in, like, you know, like, how life takes you where it needs to.
Yeah. Like, I was talking to AJ last time, and we were talking about how it's like, you know, everybody's in touch on Facebook, but nobody is, like, physically in touch with each other. And I'm like, it's almost like all of your friends get trapped in your computer. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, demands on my time.
Yeah.
I have so many irons working at one time and all these projects. And I make time for, like, the people that are real close to me, like, you know, and I feel bad because there's people that I do genuinely love and care about. I just don't have the time to go sit and chill and, like, hang out like I used to, you know, like who the fuck wants to, you know, like, I don't want to stay in this fucking house anymore. I want to get the fuck back out, you know? Yeah. So, to me, it's like the upload's important to just save some fucking money and get the fuck out. And I can't do that hanging out at someone's house, you know?
Yeah.
I have to be on the grind doing shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets in the way sometimes, but it's necessary, yeah.
Absolutely, man.
So, well, anyway, I guess let's get into it. I guess we'll just kind of go over kind of, you know, your musical history here. I don't know, I guess that you probably started out when you were elementary school, middle school?
Well, when I grew up, my dad was a musician. My mom and dad met because my dad was looking for a female singer, and one of his friends brought his sister there, and probably to his dismay, you know, my dad hooked up with his sister, and, you know, that's history. So, you know, I met because I came out of, you know, this woman because of music. So,
yeah.
When I was about 5 or 6, I would, like, strum on my grandpa's hack strum, and I had rhythm with my right hand. And, like, you know, like, you know how parents do when they're little kids and shit, and, you know, oh, look, he's playing with the guitar.
Yeah.
And, like, that was about all the encouragement I got. And that was about all the interest that I put into it. And, I didn't really start messing with music and really trying to do something with it until I was about 11.
Uh-huh.
And I would, like, go into the music room at school with the keyboard, and I would just sing songs. I'd sing Alice in Chains songs. I would sing Hands Up, and all the little girls would be like, oh, shit, you know, like all the 80s,
yeah,
like the shitty 80s jammers and stuff.
Yeah.
And then for a while, like, I got into, like, we moved down here from New York when I was, like, 13, 14, like, up in where we were in New York, there was no fishing, there was no, like, outdoor life. So I got really into, like, you know, going to play sports, going fishing. So music pretty much took a back seat until I got with you in high school.
Oh, really? Okay. So,
yeah. And I was in jazz band, but, like, you know, I was about as interested in jazz as I was as interested in having cancer in my balls, you know? Like, I had no interest in playing jazz, but I was stuck in jazz band. It was a reason to bring the guitar to school.
Right.
And, you know, I'd sit there and I'd fuck around and I'd, like, try to figure out Green Day riffs and Korn riffs and, you know, whatever my brain was into at that time.
Yeah.
And then we started jamming, and then that's when Horny Dove came about.
Yeah.
And our guys, like, it was awesome because, like, we both had, we had, like, a middle road where we saw eye to eye on a lot of bands that we liked, and then we both diverged, like, to opposite sides of the spectrum.
Yeah.
So it was cool getting together to jam because, like, you had this, like, cool, eclectic, like, vintage punk kind of vibe. And I, you know, I, once I heard, like, Death and Cannibal Corpse, I was like, that's what I want to do. Like, at that age, like, that was what grabbed me by the boo-boo. and then we jammed with AJ and Horny Dog. Was, you know, it was a lot of fun. You fucking jamming Nirvana tunes in the garage and stuff.
Yeah.
We recorded that tape. Remember in Coach Rock's class, you put it on?
Yeah.
And that big black girl Tracy, like, she's like, that's you too? Like, Kimberly, like, doing, like, really bad rap rock. Like, a football hadn't dropped fully yet. It was so funny, man.
Yeah, man, I still wish I had a copy of that. It's just,
you want to know the worst part, Travis? It was the other day when I was cleaning out, not the day, it was like 3 months ago, I was cleaning out the garage.
Yeah.
And I found the cassette cover for Horny Dogs, Jamaican Dogs.
Yeah.
I found the cover for it, but the tape wasn't it.
Oh,
and it,
man.
Like, it haunted me for a good, like, day or two. To where it was like, I'm like, dude, this tape's got to be in this fucking house. I'm looking for it. And it was not there. But, like, that's, like, the track listing on the back. I was showing Brett, who my drummer from the Toilets, and he's like Horny Dog, and like, I was like, yeah, dude, that's where it started.
Yeah. It's just like, that's the greatest band name ever.
it's one of the best. And then from there, I met with Mike Cavalera and Jay Tang, David Simpson. And we started jamming, called ourselves Visionary after a few meetings when we got a singer, my friend Rafael Rosales. And it was pretty much let's be the Deftones or Incubus, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that was like what Mike and what they were leaning towards. And, you know, Jay really just wanted a jam. Like, Jay had such a good spirit about everything. Like, if we jammed something heavy, he was down. Like, you know, Ralph, you know, it was a clash for me. You know, don't get me wrong. Like, I wrote some good songs for the band. We did some cool things together. But, like, it was so unfulfilling as an artist.
Yeah.
It wasn't really what I wanted to be doing. But it was, like, you know, to get in where you fit in.
Right.
You know, there was really no punk scene then. And, like, there's nothing going on except for pretty much like new metal and like that emergence of that screamo, like, you know, the metalcore, like Poison the Well, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it was like a weird time. And, you know, and to be honest too, I didn't have my voice yet. Like, you know, like, I didn't fucking know myself at 16. I was writing love songs that I never loved.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, you know, it was really just, we were trying to be a radio band.
Yeah.
And, you know, I left the band because I just didn't take it anymore. And a bunch of controversy happened over that because one of Ralph's fucking dickhead friends, Chris Williams, posted on the Visionary board on GeoCities back in, you know, fucking Stone Age. He posted something derogatory about Mike's mom. They all thought it was me. This whole big thing went down. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, why would I go on the internet and talk? I quit the band.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there was all this drama about that shit. And I was like, oh, my man, I'm like, fucking, you know, good riddance to this. And I look back on it, you know, fondly now because fucking, like, growing up, my ego's fucking shrank in a lot of ways. And, you know, that's the training grounds. You know, I played a lot of shows. We did a little traveling.
Yeah.
Made a couple of videos. So, you know, it was an invaluable experience. And, you know, I fucking love Jay. I love all those guys. I definitely have a place in my heart for them. And, you know, it would be a trip to get in a room with them and all jam again. But I don't know if that would ever happen. I'm sure if Jay ever came down, we could all get meet in the same place. But I think everyone's scattered in the U.S. right now.
Yeah. Well, I think he actually is down there right now. Isn't he for Oktoberfest?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I think, according to his Facebook, anyway.
Oh, interesting, man. It sucks. I'm going out of town.
Yeah, that's tomorrow. Right. You're playing that country gig.
Music. So,
yeah, I had Jay on. He was the first guest on the show, and you know, we were kind of talking about that a little bit. And
yeah,
I don't know if we actually talked about it on the show, but I remember saying, like, you know, it'd be really cool if we could get a show where it was like, if somehow you guys got back together, like, you know, maybe Matt Parker and the Come Ons could play, or the Ridicules, and like, I was like, I'll open the show and just be like a throwback, you know.
Yeah, that'd be crazy, man. Get like a Dorfman or somebody to headline it.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting. I mean, like, you know, like where am I, you know, I have nostalgia for certain things. I think I'd be more apt to want to do a Horny Dog reunion and sit in a room with you and AJ and Jam.
Yeah. Yeah, you I know? Talked about that with, like, AJ, too.
My heart's just not, you know, like that's one thing, is, like, I have to, like, fall in love with the country music we're playing.
Yeah.
And it was fucking tough, you know, but the experience that we had going out to Kansas was so unreal, and it was, like, it was pretty much like a fucking baptism. I felt like a different person after that, because, yeah, like, we played in front of a tremendous amount of people, and the love we got from these fucking people was out of control. Like, you know, Harper, Kansas, the nicest human being that I've ever met.
Yeah.
So gregarious, and hospitality through the roof. So, you know, that really, like, changed my view on country life and how, you know, those people live and, like, what they do. And, like, you know, do I like listening to Randy Houser and fucking Chicken Fried? No, I don't. But, like, the songs that we play and the way that we play them, like, with the band, our other guitar player is Tanner from Endorphin.
Uh-huh.
And he's, like, the sickest blues guitar player. He's disgusting. So what I do is, I've replaced their other guitar player, who was also like a blues chicken picking guitar player, and I give it more of like a Pantera feel.
Yeah.
So it's like this modern Jason Aldean, Chris Cagle country, but, you know, with a metal zone and palm muting and squeals.
Yeah.
So the way that we present it, and like the guys in the band, and like the vibe that it has, like, it's fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah. And what's the name of the band?
The artist's name is Ryan Weaver.
Okay.
And you can check out his song, Crank It, on YouTube and theallwire.com. And we're not in the video. He pretty much promotes himself as an artist, and we're his backup band. We don't really have a name or anything, but it was kind of a bunch of metalheads thrown together who just need to make money. That's really what the band is. It's just a bunch of metal musicians that are proficient to where we can kind of, like, learn songs on the fly, and, like, playing country to us is, like, you know, slicing butter with a hot knife.
Yeah.
It's super easy. So, you know, we're cutting it, throwing the shred solos, and just making it interesting. And it makes Ryan look better, and Ryan's a great singer, and he's a really cool dude. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with making some money and, you know, and enjoying some time on the road with some guys that you really get along with.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds good. I mean, I actually have never had that kind of touring thing going on, but, you know, I mean, sounds like it'd be... I don't know. I feel like at this point in my life, I probably couldn't do it even if I wanted to, but it sounds like it, you know, it'd be pretty cool to get out there and, you know, play a little bit, get some crowd love, you know?
Yeah, man. I mean, if I would have stood with that girl, there's no way I'd be going on this tour, you know? And, like, that's the thing is, like, things are just starting to pick up. Like, you know, I'm starting to get enough exposure to where I'm getting approached instead of having to fucking reach out.
Right.
And now's the time to, you know, just kind of be able to throw it out there and be free to, you know, explore everything without anything holding me back.
Yeah.
You know, with, I know that you have a boy, and like that's a whole different responsibility. So the road would probably just be, I don't know how bad it'd be that. I don't know how to leave a family at home for 8 months.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like Jay and I were talking about that, where we're just like, well, we pretty much just have to, you know, record at home or whatever. And that, actually, I was telling him that's kind of one of the reasons why I wanted to do this podcast, because I was like, well, you know, I can't really go out and, I mean, I can maybe every once in a while I'll go out and play a show in town or something, but, you know, I wanted to do something creative, like, on a regular basis, and I can't really go play shows. And it's even kind of difficult for me to practice music, because it's like, if I pick up a guitar, like, I don't know what it is, but he just goes crazy. Like, he doesn't want me to play or something. I don't. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like,
interesting.
Yeah. Like, at first, you know, he's all about it. He's like, oh, that's a guitar. Yeah. Everything's cool. And then you actually start playing and he just loses his mind. I don't know if he's like, he wants like all my attention to be on him or what it is, but it's you kind of give up, you have to give it up, you know, and
yeah,
or you have to do it, you know, when he's sleeping or something, or, you know, whatever. So, but I thought, you know, I was like, well, like I said before, it doesn't seem like that hard to get into, and I've always kind of had a liking of talk radio and whatnot, so maybe I'll give this a try. And
yeah, man, it's awesome. Proud of you, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I'm enjoying it so far, and, you know, I'm enjoying getting back in touch with people, and, you know, I'm kind of hoping that maybe eventually, if it takes off, I might be able to kind of talk to, you know, some more well-known people. You know, maybe people that have influenced me, like in bigger bands and whatnot. But I mean, even if not, it's still cool to do, and I still get to talk to my friends, and it's, you know, it's good.
Oh yeah.
So you're. You're doing the country thing now. Are you still, you still have your band, The Toilets?
Yeah, The Toilets is still going. It's in a state right now to where, just kind of playing the catalog that we have.
Uh-huh.
And doing shows here and there. And I've been, putting together another band called, I'm the Machine.
Okay. Yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
And that's taken up a lot of time, but The Toilets are still rocking and rolling. And, from time to time, I'm going to be writing new songs for The Toilets, and basically, The Toilets, we've been at it for about 2.5 years, and had a lot of fun, man. And I've gotten to write music without any filter, except for the one anchor in it is the NoFX Bad Religion style punk rock in it.
Right.
Everything else is kind of a crapshoot, and it was fun to just like write whatever I wanted off the cuff. Like, I wrote that album, like all the music for it, probably in the course of like a half a day.
Yeah.
Like, I just got to go nuts and just let riffs pour out, and I just kind of like put it all together, and then we started practicing.
Yeah.
And we have about 3 albums worth of material, and we play from all of those songs. We got a bunch of random covers. We do a lot of Misfits and stuff. Our next show is October 22nd at Propaganda in Lake Worth with the Kaiju and the mighty and powerful P-Lander Z.
Yeah. And the Muggles, too, right?
They're one of the most fun bands that I've ever had the honor to open up for. We opened up for them with my other band, Cigarette Butts and Bottle Caps.
Yeah.
It's a punk band I play drums in with Mike Williams from the Clockouts. And we got to open up for them, and they were so good that I actually shed tears.
Oh, yeah.
The middle of the floor, because I was just like, there's a guy riding a unicycle wearing a rubber squid helmet, and I was fucking dying. it was the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, it was like the Power Rangers on stage with smoke machines. It was just so good.
Yeah. Man, I kind of want to come down there. I know, you know, John, I guess, did he start Propaganda, or did he just buy it?
I think he went in partners with some people.
Okay.
And my guess is they probably have to write the liquor license. Well,
yeah.
I don't like to guess, you know, assume other people's business, but I believe him and another guy are running it, Matt.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember him saying, you know, he was the owner on, you know, whenever it was that he went into that. And I thought that was pretty, I haven't really been particularly close with him the whole time, but I've known him since like second grade. And,
Yeah.
I mean, I remember before he played drums or anything, and like when he started playing drums, and he was pretty much an amazing drummer just right from the get go, you know, but I mean, he only got better as time went on. And, I've always wanted to be in a band with him, but it just never worked out. But yeah, I mean, I remember when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's awesome, man. You know? And then like, I guess I see all of my friends that still live down there, they're like, I'm playing a Propaganda. I'm like, oh, that'd be sweet. Like, I could go see my friend's band playing at my other friend's club. Like, that'd be pretty cool to do, but I'm never down there. So, it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool, and like it's the best venue locally around here. Like Speakeasy really just went down the shitter even more so.
Yeah.
And it's just bad. The ownership is just out of control. Like they just don't know how to run a club. And propaganda, like, it's been like a back and forth war, but for like the past like 7-8 months, propaganda just been whipping that ass.
Yeah.
You know, but they treat the patrons better, better drink specials, place is actually cleaner, even though it's more like a little dive.
Yeah.
And the owners take care of the bands. Like, I've never had a problem with Matt or John. And, like, I've had problems with places like Swampgrass Willie's and, you know, Monterey when it was open.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool to see guys taking over that are, you know, they're there to make money for themselves, but they're also taking care of the band. And you can tell they genuinely care about the music scene in Lake Worth.
Right. Yeah, man. I mean, all of the clubs aren't even the same anymore. I mean, like, when I moved away, they had, you know, like Rays and Spankies and, I don't know, I guess maybe that was the big ones, but now I think both of those are gone now, aren't they? Or been gone for a while.
It's been a long time since that. I mean, the last time I went to Spankies was in 2003, and I played a battle of the bands when I was in Not For Nothing, and Brett and I saw these dudes light the band Leftover Crack. Uh-huh. They lit their van on fire.
Wow.
And so we just kind of sat outside. We just watched this van go with, like, the cops came, fire trucks. It was amazing. And they were playing at Rays. So those days are long gone. I think Respectables is, like, the only place down there that has original music, and Respectables is a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah,
it depends on who you talk to. It depends, you know, like, I'd rather have an intimate place that feels like home and treats the band well than a place that is, you know, insistent upon itself and, you know, like too hoity-toity and...
Right.
Yeah, you know, you're on Clematis Street in West Palm Beach. Like, who the fuck do you think you are? You know, like,
yeah. Yeah. I remember, you know, not that I had too much experience playing shows, but... I remember, like, some of the times, you know, it was like pulling teeth just to get them to give you a glass of water or something, you know?
That's terrible. We played at a place called Area 7 with the toilets, and they wouldn't serve water to anyone. And I said, I'll pay you for it. And they're like, nope. Yeah, and I just looked at this woman. I'm like, I thought she was kidding me, so I started laughing. And this woman's just staring at me. And we ended up playing that night, and they, like, tried to pay us $5. It was...
Yeah, it's, you know, it's ridiculous. You're like, I'm in here playing this show, you know, people are coming out to see me play, I'm making you money, and, like, you're just being a total dick, you know? Like, I never understood that part of it, you know?
Yeah, I just don't understand that the mentality, how you have a business and treat the patrons and the entertainment like shit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because it's like, you know, the patrons, you know, maybe they're not all coming out to see the entertainment, but, you know, if you have a halfway decent band in there, I'm sure they have people coming to see them, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like compared to a lot of the bands around here, at that time, the toilets were, you know, a force of nature because, like, it was very new then.
Right.
But, like, we were so proficient, and we were practicing so much at that time that, like, you know, people were getting, like, you know, a sick, you know, 12-song performance, and, like, you know, like, I would feel different if I didn't put years into, like, you know, like, into my compositions and into learning my instruments.
Yeah.
And I was just, like, a hobbyist, but, like, this is, like, you know, something that I was trying to eat off of. And, yeah, you know, the big reason why I got to step away from it right now creatively and time-wise is because it's just not lucrative. Like, there's no money in it.
Right.
It's, like, fucking right now, it's, like, sink or swim. Like, fucking everything's all fucked up in the world. Chase is banning wire transfers and shit. So I'm just trying to stuff some fucking cash in a mattress and, you know, so right now it's about what's going to make money, and I can't sit there and put more time into a project that's not doing it. You know, we can still do the project, we can still play a few shows a month, but...
Yeah, you got to go where the money is, you know.
If we had a bigger push, you know, like, if we have people... Like, I have so much stuff going on. If we had some sort of representation or someone trying to push the band to go to the next level. But, you know, you can only play the same five clubs for 3 years before you've had enough.
Yeah. And you got to get out there and tour or, you know, do whatever to sort of broaden the audience.
Yeah, and I mean, it gets stale, too. Like, and it sucks, you know, but, like, as a band, like, you know, you get pigeonholed into what you're doing unless you really let it be freeform. And with I Am the Machine, like, I'm really, like, if I have a reggae song and it's just a reggae song, I'm just playing a reggae song. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And if we're doing, a song where it goes from, like, 17 styles of music, that's what we're doing. Like, they're really letting me just be completely free. There's no basis on which we rest.
Right.
And then the majority of it's covers, so we can make money and go out and play bars. But, you know, we're going to be putting once you know 30 covers, you know 30 covers.
Yeah.
Then after that, all the time that we're going to put into practice is going to be on the originals. And we have four already from two jams, and they range from reggae to all over the place. Like, this one song got, like, you know, it sounds like Real Big Fish, and then it sounds like Black Dahlia Murder, you know?
Yeah. That sounds pretty sweet, man. I know that CD that you gave me, I listened to it. I was like, this is amazing, you know?
Oh, yeah, man.
So, I mean, I'm sure, like, you guys will, you know, whatever it is that you're working on now is going to be just as good or better, you know?
Yeah, well, it's the drummer, Ali. He used to play with Cro-Mags, and he used to roadie for Dokken and all these bands. Like, this guy is a drummer. Like, yeah. He works at the drum shop, like, it's cool to be in a power trio with two other guys that are so proficient at their instruments, and, you know, they're both older than me,
right.
So I feel like I have to catch up to, like, be on their level. And, like, Rob's the bass player, and he's in the toilet,
yeah.
But, like, you know, to hear him open up with Ali on drums is just unfucking real.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, do you guys have, is there a place online or anything where people can hear the music and order it if they want to, or download it, or, you know, whatever?
I mean, I Am the Machine hasn't really done anything besides we have a couple clips up on YouTube. If you look up I Am the Machine, Cult of Personality, you can probably find it. On my personal Facebook page, Joey V. DiStefano, if anyone feels like friend requesting me, I post the videos up, you know, once a week at least. And I can always send you links to them. Like, I always have time to talk to people. You know, if they send me a message, I will get back to you as soon as I can.
And you also have a Twitter, too, right?
What's up?
And you also have a Twitter, too, right?
Yeah, I have a Twitter. I don't check it. You know what I mean? Like, I barely know how to use Facebook, so.
Yeah.
So, you know, Twitter, you know, I check it maybe once a week at the most. As far as staying in touch with people, I mostly do it on Facebook. It's just easier. I've been on it longer, and I know how to use it.
Right.
To an extent. But, you know, you could also just go to the Facebook page, capital I Am, and then The Machine. And I'm sure we'll post some videos and stuff as we record them up there. We have our set list for our live shows posted up there, so if you want to know what you're getting into, it's a mix of everything from Curtis Mayfield to Nine Inch Nails, The Living Color, Deftones.
Everything you can think of. Well, I guess speaking of some of your music now, why don't we give them a little taste here? I got some of this stuff queued up here.
All right, man.
I don't know. What do you think we should go with first? I got Visionary, I got The Toilets, and I don't know how many people are familiar with this or not, but you did a rap mixtape a few years ago, and I've got some of that too. So I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. You want to take them in order?
Yeah, all right. So I guess Visionary will be first.
Visionary. I haven't heard Visionary in a long time.
Go throwback here. It is Thursday night, so throwback Thursday.
All right.
All right. Let's do it. This is Away from the Phone from Visionary, and here we go.
fire. I hold this inside. It's all my desire.
Just like right into it. Well, that's a little preview of the next one. That's the toilets. I didn't mean for that to come on so soon.
So
anyway,
visionary.
I played.
Wow.
Yeah, I played that on the first episode with Jay. So you know our audience here has already heard that, but I picked that one because it has you. You and Ralph are the two vocalists on it. So
yeah, we did that. I think two more times in the album at some point. Vane, I sang the choruses on, and I sang the end of Sun with him.
Yeah, man. What was it like hearing it after all this time?
It was funny. I had to write all the lyrics. Like, we're going to kick Ralph out of the band because, like, he was kind of just freestyling the lyrics, and everyone's butt was hurt about stupid bullshit because everyone's, like, you know, everyone except for fucking Jay pretty much had the giant is about something.
Yeah.
So the band was like very clicky and weird, and so I wrote all the lyrics out for the song and kind of worked with Ralph to learn them, and we had this fucking Sally Jesse Raphael sit down where he had to learn all the fucking and he sang all the words without looking at him, and then we did the recording and stuff, you know. It's cool, like, you know, I got to learn a lot about being a songwriter and writing music that, like, is not necessarily, like, what's inside of you, but you're trying to, like, you know, write something to be marketable.
Right.
You know, so for that, like, it's all worth it. I mean, like, dude, we were 16 and he was, like, 21 or something. I think that sounded good for a bunch of 16-year-olds.
Yeah. Yeah, I still, you know, I was stoked when Jay was like, yeah, I still have the CD, I'll send it to you. I was like, hell yeah, I haven't seen that CD in years. I know I still have it somewhere, but I couldn't tell you where, you know.
Yeah, I barely have any of the music I made, which is so fucked up.
Yeah, it's it's frustrating. It's like the same thing when we were talking about that tape that we made. It's just like, you know, somewhere out there, there's this music, and it's like nobody knows where it is, you know?
Well, somewhere in space, it is echoing.
I wonder so if maybe it's like...
Omicron Persei 9, they're listening to Horny Dog.
Yeah. I wonder if maybe it's not even as good as we think. It's just we're just building it up because we haven't heard it in so long. We're like, that was the greatest thing ever. And then if we actually found it, it like wouldn't live up to our expectations anymore.
Bro, we were 14. We ate chicken nuggets, watched wrestling, stole shit at the mall, and played music. Like, that was the best shit in the world at that point.
Yeah.
That was like, the scope of our experiences, you know, fucking around with little girls, you know, getting in trouble. Do you remember that kid, Matt Lair?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. I got back in touch with him, and then, like, I was looking shit up, and there's, like, forums of dudes that want to, like, beat his ass.
Yeah.
And then he's, like, going around the bars saying he's a professional wrestler and that he does MMA.
Yeah, he's still kind of up to his old tricks, you know.
I was like, I'm like, dude, that guy really did try to do that? I'm like... I talked to him one time on Facebook or MySpace or something, like, it had to be long, like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And he had like all these like pictures of him with like fucking like Scott Hall and stuff. And he's like, you should come hang out. And I was like, ah.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, I'm not sure if he deleted his Facebook or if Facebook deleted it or something, but I think it was a few months ago, like Ric Flair's son died and he was posting on the Facebook about how, oh, his son was such a good friend of mine and I'm so sad about this and blah, blah, blah. And some of the people that like that really are in Ric Flair's family were like, we don't know you. What the hell are you talking about? You know? And then shortly thereafter, his profile disappeared. So we're not really sure what happened, but.
Can you imagine Ric Flair fucking drove the limo to his house? Like Dusty Rhodes and that bitch fucking throwing elbows on him.
Yeah. Don't tell me.
Fuck him. Lover's son, man.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe, like, I was, like, looking up MMA videos and I see a KOR thing and they're like, has anyone heard of this kid, Matt Lair? I met him in a bar the other night and he was saying that, like, fucking he does MMA and, like, and he seemed all fucked up and I was like, whoa, no way, dude.
Yeah, well,
of course, and I'm like, dude, this kid that I hit with a chair when I was fucking 15.
Yeah, well, he put up on his Facebook one time. It was this really, really horribly photoshopped picture of him that was supposedly on the cover of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and it was just really bad and obvious, but. I mean, even if you thought it looked real, you could just go to the website of the magazine and it had John Cena on the cover. And I'm like, yeah, you must have been really good to beat out John Cena for the cover this month. Yeah.
I think Vince McMahon broke that poor boy.
You know, the thing that's really sad about it is that, you know, he's actually, if it wasn't for all of the lying, he wouldn't be that bad of a guy. And, you know, I mean, it's like he lies about everything, presumably to get people to like him. But that's precisely why they don't like him. Yeah.
If only you could put the one and one together and figure out it's two.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, dude, you're a cool guy. We like you. Just tell the truth, you know?
Yeah, I know I wouldn't want the Flares after me.
Yeah.
Getting... You know what I mean? Like, that fucking old wrinkly man might still have some fucking magic in there.
16-time world champ.
Completely evil, and Matt can finally get some recognition for beating the fuck out of Ric Flair.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and especially, like, it's like, all right, man, like, if you're gonna pretend that you're a wrestler or whatever, like, whatever, like, do what you want to do, but, I mean, if somebody died, it's like, just, there's really no reason for you to comment on that, you know,
it's like, one out, Matt.
Yeah, exactly, it's like, you know, they're having a hard enough time as it is without your bullshit, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, you know, they say, like, you know, he might have, like, ADD or something really bad. And they say, like, a lot of people that suffer with adult ADD and don't have it treated is that the part of the limbic system that controls, like, your impulse to lie. Like, they're the kind of people that'll eat a fucking tuna sandwich in front of you. You'd be like, what'd you have for lunch? It'll be like a peanut butter sandwich. And yeah. Like, bro, I just watched you eat a tuna sandwich. No, it's peanut butter. And it's like, for no fucking reason. It's just, like, it's, like, the part of their brain that's just a compulsion. Like,
peanut butter or the seed.
There's some people that are really delusional. Like, I've met people that believe their lies, and like they're not fucking around. Like, they believe this shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. Like, I mean,
it's perception is a motherfucker, man.
Yeah.
Like, if someone's in La La Land and you're not in La La Land, it's like trying to fucking listen to the Gator and being on 103.1, you know?
Yeah.
You're just not going to hear it.
Well, Matt, if you're listening, no disrespect, man. I mean, I always thought you were a cool guy, but that's just the one thing that, you know, I think not just me, but kind of ruins it for everybody. So, you know, still think you're cool, just kind of, you know what's going on. So,
stop fucking lying, Matt.
Man, so what the hell else were we talking about? Oh, we were talking about your music, right?
Yeah, we're going over, just toilets, doing our thing, on the machine. The hip-hop mixtape stuff was so much fun, and Rob and I are going to start working on hip-hop again as soon as we get some time freed up.
Yeah, I would actually like to do some hip-hop.
Month or two, which is, what's up?
I said I would actually like to do some hip-hop myself.
That'd be awesome, man. Yeah. The cool thing about that is it would be easy to send tracks back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm not a huge fan of hip hop, but you know I've listened to a little bit of it. I think I could probably do it. Like, I don't think I probably wouldn't be that good if I was just like with people and they were like, yeah, just freestyle something right here, right now. But like, if I had time to think about
how I did the mixtape.
Yeah, just whatever was in your head.
The mixtape was me sitting at Mike Williams' house, and we got fucking stupid drunk. We're drinking for hours.
Yeah.
And he's like, bro, he's like, I have my beats in the car that I've been, you know, messing around with. And I sat there with an SM57 microphone and just went to town one after one. And we just had fun with it, man. And see, me, like, hip-hop is so close to my heart.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I've done a lot of fucking crazy shit in my life. And I've done a lot of shit I should have been arrested for, and a lot of fucking crazy partying and shit and hustling and fucking, you know, I could relate with a lot of hip-hop lyrics, but, like, you know, nothing too gutter, like, none of the shooting, like, the really insane shit.
Yeah.
But just, like, you know, trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents, like, I know all about that, you know? So, and growing up in New York, like, I grew up, you know, my brother's 10 years older than me, so I grew up listening to Wu-Tang Clan and Biggie and KRS-One and Big Al, like, all these legends.
Right.
And, you know, it just stuck with me. Like, I used to play Nerf basketball in my room when I was 6 listening to OPP, Travis.
You know what I mean?
I thought I was like, this shit. My brother's like 16 listening to OPP, and he fucking bring the tape in my room. I'd be like trying to dunk that little Nerf ball.
Yeah.
Like a little Larry Bird, man. But doing the hip hop thing was cool because, like, I was always good at thinking off the top of my head. And I got confronted in front of Speakeasy by this fucking long-haired Spanish-looking kid.
Yeah.
And he comes up to me, and he's drunk, and I'm with a group of people, and he starts just busting this insulting battle rap at me for no reason.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm just like a fucking hip-hop cat. I wear black tank tops, got tattoos, you know, like I look like some, you know, punk rocker, you know, just some dude. And he just starts, you know, calling me fat, calling me a piece of shit, just busted on me.
Yeah.
And when I went back on him, he didn't think I could rap. When I wrapped circles around this kid and pretty much made him, like, walk away. While he was walking away, I was following him, and I was still going. And people were just fucking hysterical because I was saying, you know, I was fucking cutting this kid fucking deep.
Yeah.
And you know, I was like, dude, I'm like, I need to put some of this down. You know, the last time before the mixtape that I tried to rap and put it down was at this guy Rolly's house, and Rolly's like a paranoid schizophrenic.
Uh-huh.
And we would hang out at his house and play punk rock, and we would fucking drink Old English and vodka, and one day we're just like shot, and he put on these like Dirty South beats.
Yeah.
And we just kind of made up characters, and like one of them was like a gay rapper.
Yeah.
He's talking about getting banged in bathroom stalls and shit. And, like, just, like, all these different weird fucking characters. And we made, like, you know, we made, like, a 6-song demo of that. But it was just freestyle, and it was bad, and there's nothing serious about it.
Yeah.
So, like, this was, like, kind of me taking that battle rap spirit, you know, like, from being able to, like, you know, fuck with that kid, and then just the parties being able to fucking spit and battle with people.
Right.
And just putting it on tape with some, like, old school 90s, like, you know, that 90s swing, that boom bap. So,
yeah.
That's where that came from, man.
Well, since we kind of gave that a pretty good intro, let's play some of it here.
Hell yeah, man.
The song is called Dig off of the Caustic Silence mixtape by Oddball Joey D. All right, here it goes.
Dig. Yeah, we're giving producers credit where it's deserved. Willie B. The Muddy Banks of L-Dub meet NYC. If you ever thought about giving up, my advice to you is to never stop digging. Never. You look. When the world begins to crumble around your whole existence, remember how far you come. Don't scoff at the distance between who you were, where you are, what you'll become. The challenge is a fire to forge. My will be done. Never stop digging. Push for what you want in life. Death comes quicker than you think, and soon you'll see a light sooner than you'd wish. So lift your mind intact, connected to your heart. All the weapons you'll need, in fact. Napalm blasts out my larynx from below the pharynx. Murder rap hoes, you're ill-equipped to handle this. So sick of what is glorified on TV is for suicide. Our children have these archetypes of what they need to be in life. Criminals and vapid cunts, no direction in their steps. Architects milk us till our last breath. Transmit the truth, hoping kids will pull text with a bumping advertising firm proclaiming who's next.
Never
nigga,
stop preaching. This song ain't preaching.
It's just my eyes reprise on this life we're leading. I feel fine though, I can't stand this place. The only consolation, it's a temporal phase. Never stop reaching. This song ain't preaching. It's just my eyes reprise on this life we're leading. Feel fine though, I can't even stand this place. Only consolation is just temporal phase.
Work on the stereo. Damn, what a scary hoe. Passion one's rampant, bipolar syndrome. Way we go. Another fight, another night up at the ceiling. Trying to remember if it was fucking love that I was feeling. Sex was amazing, but I could smoke with just about anyone. Anytime else, the shit was the opposite of fun. How could you fucking love me when you put me down for my art? At any given moment, you're fucking so quick to tear me apart. And accuse my boys as if they had some fucking influence. I act alone, bitch. I always have. I don't need it when I'm brilliant. You silly bitch. My boys were right and I was pussy blind. I don't even know how I sit so long with a woman so unkind. She can never comprehend my motility. I don't know why I stood so long, it wasn't nobility. Hopeless romanticism gives birth to cynicism. Shut your fucking mouth, cunt. I refuse to
never
listen.
Stop reaching.
This song ain't preaching. It's just my eyes reprise on this life we're leading. I feel fine, low, I can't stand this place. The only consolation, it's a temporal phase. Never stop reaching. This song ain't preaching. It's just my eyes reprise on this life we're leading. Feel fine, though, I can't even stand this place. Only consolation, it's a temporal phase.
It's a temporal phase.
It's a temporal phase.
Cause it's a temporal phase. Yo, life is a maze. There's run two in the days, but I'm amazed. Your life is a maze.
It's Indian corn.
So keep digging. And when they tell you that you can't,
yeah,
you tell them to suck the cum out of your dick.
Fuck yeah.
Cause fuck them.
Suck my dead babies.
There it is.
There it is.
You know, I was thinking kind of the whole time during that, I was like, you know what, if you took the rap out of this thing, that sounds like it could be a Cake song.
Yeah, right? It definitely has that, like, that Cakey kind of vibe.
Yeah, like Meanwhile Rick James or something, you know?
Hell yeah, I just bumped in that in the car, man.
Hell yeah.
That's one of the best bands that ever graced silence with their noise.
Oh, yeah. Man, I remember when they came to town in high school and, like, everybody's like, yeah, I love Cake. I love Cake. I was like, all right, sweet. Like, let's go. Nobody would go to the show with me. I ended up going by myself. I was like, I don't care. I'm going to go. Fuck it. Like,
oh, yeah, man.
But that was a great show,
that's
man.
That's how I am when Rush comes to town.
Yeah.
Homer Simpson. His apologies.
Oh, no, that's all right. Homer Simpson is welcome on this show. If you don't like The Simpsons, then fuck you.
Exactly, man. No, I stand by that. I'm sure Travis doesn't want to offend anyone, but I don't care if I do. So seriously, if you don't like The Simpsons, we got nothing else to talk about.
Yeah. That's how I am. Especially when people are like, oh, Family Guy is so much better than The Simpsons. I was like, bitch, If The Simpsons didn't exist, you wouldn't have Family Guy.
That shit makes me wretch, bro. That shit makes me wretch when people say Family Guy is better than this. I fucking dare you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got a fucking a pinup of Homer wearing a welcome mat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like tattooed on my arm, so it's like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll ever get a Family Guy tattoo. Like, and Family Guy's funny for some of it, but
yeah.
Simpsons, like, you know, that's like the fucking the alternate universe that I would want to live in is Springfield.
Yeah. I mean, it's like Family Guy's a good show, but it, you know, it just, it's nowhere in, it's not even the same league as The Simpsons, you know.
Like, especially, like, the one episode where Homer gets a medical marijuana.
Yeah.
Forget it. I would live in Homer's attic the rest of my life. And fucking listen to Donovan and watch The Three Stooges. And I would be completely content.
I have a case of Duff beer up on my shelf.
What?
Yeah. You know, did you hear that they made that for real in Germany?
Didn't they get in trouble?
I think they did, yeah. But, I mean, because, you know, like, I don't drink or anything, but I was like, that is cool. I'm totally getting that. So, I've, like, people were selling it on eBay. I was like, I'll buy that. I'm going to put it. I have, like, a little collection of bottles and stuff. So, I was like, I'm going to get that.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
So, what else we got on the agenda?
Let's see. We still got that toilet song to play.
Right on.
Well, let's get that out of the way.
What song is that in tune?
I don't know. The when I got the CD, it just had track numbers, but I didn't see the title on it.
Okay.
It's the first track. Do you know what that's called?
If it's in the order that we ended up doing the CD in, it should be in tune.
Okay. Hopefully this is in the right order. So here's the toilets. This is the one you're pretty much doing now, right? Is the toilets along with your country gig and your "I Am the Machine"? So,
yeah.
If anybody's out there in the area, go check them out.
Yeah, man, October 22nd at Prop.
There we go.
You're here live.
Buy this CD while you're there. Track number one.
Sorry.
Right on, man.
Yeah, that's a freight train of vulgar punk rock.
Yeah, I gotta admit, you know, when I first heard about you guys, I was like, the Toilets. I wonder what this is gonna sound like. And then when I got the CD, I was like, this is amazing.
That's awesome. Thank you, man.
Yeah. I was like, you know, that's kind of like I wish I was down there. You guys were up here or something, so I could come out and hang out every once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be so fucking great too. It's crazy how we all spread out, man.
Yeah, it's like everybody's, you know, I think a lot of people are kind of still in Florida, but just different parts, and some people are, you know, out of state or whatever. I always thought it'd be kind of... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
The guys in the country band, they like live in like Orlando, Tampa, and Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, people still come together for stuff. It's just hard to get the money together when it's just for, you know, shits and gigs, you know?
Yeah, and even to get the time too, you know? Like for everybody's schedule to work out.
Yeah, man. It's, being an adult sucks. It rules, but it sucks. Yeah, but, man, you know, what are you going
to
do?
I know, like, even to get this show started, like, I was, when Jay and I were trying to set up the first episode, we were both like, yeah, let's do it. Like, it's going to be awesome, whatever. And it took us a good, probably three weeks or a month to, like, find a day and a time where our schedules meshed, you know?
Yeah.
But,
I mean, like, you know, we got lucky, like, you know, like, today I had a bunch of stuff to do early, and I got to get to, you know, bed so I could go drive tomorrow. Yeah. But, like, we caught each other at the perfect time, because, like, I literally just finished doing shit 10 minutes before you wanted me to call you.
Yeah, I figured I'd give it a shot. I know this morning I was like, well, I got the night off. I'll see what he's up to. Maybe we'll get another episode recorded here. I know I'd been talking to you about it for a while, so I'm like, I don't want to just be like, hey, we should totally do that and never do it. Yeah,
no, man. Then we could always do a part two and talk about whatever random shit you want. And likewise, with the equipment we have, we could probably have you on the show via Skype.
Yeah, I'd love to, man. That'd be great.
And we could have you up picture in picture, and we could sit and see each other and fucking laugh, man.
Yeah, hopefully... Skype will work better for that guy. I know, like, when I started doing this, I was trying to do it on Skype, and it just, I don't know if it was me, I'm just being stupid or something, but I just, you know, it was, the first one I did with Jay, I did on Skype, and we talked for 3 hours with no problems or anything, and then, like, the next two that I did, it was dropping the call every 5 minutes and everything, and I was like, oh, I gotta find another way.
Yeah, it can be a real pain in the butt, man. But even with the Facebook chat, like, the program that I have, it records the screen.
Uh-huh.
So as long as I have you pulled up on the Facebook video or on Skype, it'll just record the screen.
Oh, nice.
So then it records the system volume, which you'd be coming through. So it's a really cool program. It's really easy to use.
Yeah.
You know, but we're doing video, so we're not running like Pro Tools or anything cool. So it's this program called Camtasia.
Okay.
And it's great, man. It's very, very streamlined and easy to use, and no complaints with it, man.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Just get something that works and just do it, you know?
Hell yeah, man.
Well, I guess, you know, I'll probably kind of start winding down here. I know you got a big day ahead of you tomorrow, and it's getting kind of late over here, too.
Yeah, it's going to be a crazy one, man.
But I guess, you know, before we go... let's see. How what are the different ways people can find you online if they want to check you out?
You can look me up through any of my projects pages, the Toilets, I Am the Machine, and Dad's House Confessions. Or if you're not cunty and you're a good person and you know can take jokes, Joey V. DiStefano on Facebook, and at Joey V. DiStefano on Twitter, and. I joke around a lot. I say some pretty fucking crazy things, and don't take it too seriously. Life's short. Everything's a joke. You know, because I get people that, like, they see one funny thing, they're like, oh, this guy's cool, and they start a bunch of trouble because they can't take another joke because it pushes their buttons. So,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of crazy. Like, people should just lighten up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you attract doing comedy and doing music, and especially like extreme comedy and extreme music, you attract extreme personalities.
Yeah.
And we have some of the best, like, I have some of the best friends and, you know, fans and, like, some people that are just, you know, truly amazing. And you just attract some people that, like, they think that the act is real, and they think that you're, like, really fucking psychotic, and, you know, they take things to heart, and you're like, oh, dude, just relax, you know?
Yeah.
So, but that's how you can reach me, and just hope everyone likes hearing a little bit of my music. There's always tons more music, and just the fact that anyone would even sit and listen to anything that I make is beyond flattering, and I feel beyond blessed to be able to pay bills and play music and do it. Like, I own my own business, and I just play music, and it's all steamrolling into where I'm going to be making a good living, just doing what I want to do. And I'm very blessed, and everyone that supports all the weird shit I do, I thank you all from the bottom of my heart, and I'm the luckiest person on the face of the earth, and that's about it, man.
Yeah, that's great, man. That was great having you on. Thanks for coming.
Oh, man, my pleasure. It's always a pleasure to hear your voice, man. You know I fucking love you, and I wish nothing but the best for you and your family, and it's really great to, you know, just shoot the shit, and we should definitely do a part two where you come on my show. And
oh, definitely, you know. Definitely. Likewise, man. It's great to talk to you again. We should try to get together with some of that collaboration that we were talking about, send some tracks back and forth.
Yeah, man. You know, like, things are getting heated up for me. They're not cooling down, so... Yeah. As soon as I get it together with time, we'll definitely put stuff together. We'll, you know, we got to make a new version of Ass, so, you know, the world can't go around.
Yeah, people need to hear it. If I can figure out how to get it to play in here with the whole song, I'll copy it into the MP3.
Hell yeah, man. If you locate it and put it down, that'd be so sick, man. And if we have to make a new one, I'm down for that too.
Definitely. So I actually did figure out how to get that song in here, so I'm going to play it for you now. Here it is, the underground smash hit Ass by Travis McLeod and Joey DeStefano. Hope you enjoy it.
If you want, bring in a blank tape. Just a tape. We'll make a recording and you go home and you can listen to it home and then bring it back.
There's
and
keep it in the
tape open and open and open. This way, if you're really down about anything,
Raymond,
put a little bit of tape on, and if you still don't understand, you let me know. Okay. Joe, say hello to Jose, it's Joe. All right,
so should I call him for
in case of anything? You don't want to call it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, it's also on the books.
Well, in case you don't have the book with you, you gotta call me and something. Give me a hug.
Okay, I'm gonna start next week at the same time.
Now, what do you want to do to say to
run the show? Well, I don't want to, like, you know, make it two more times. Oh. I'll give you a call.
Okay. I have open 2:30. This guy is a steady guy, but he wouldn't.
You give it to my grandma!
So I just took him out. But I can put it in 4:30, but if he gives me a call, I gotta call him.
Looking at her ass.
Now we're staring at her. And then I told her I want to touch her. And then we went to the den. And I felt up on her. And then we lay down and smoked a little grass and fell right back on her! Clip! Clip!
Who was it?
Clip! 1, 2, 3, 4! Well, I put it in her. I put a shampoo bottle in mine. I shaved my pubes and showed pictures to my friends. I put my dick and balls between my legs so it touched my... I told her, we drive for a while, and I kept staring at her, and then the cops pulled me over, and said that's my daughter and she's only 2 years old. You can't fuck a 2 year old, coach, run! Oh, your ass is in jail, and they'll hump your ass.
If you have his worst single,
bring it in.
Right now, he's in four corners.
Oh, baby, my ass. Oh, baby, my ass. Oh, baby, my ass. She touched my ass.
My ass.
Here's a little trivia for you. That little bit of audio in the beginning before the music comes in is my good friend Joe Onimus taking a drum lesson. He had started taking drum lessons, and the teacher made him record them on a tape. And he brought the tape to my house, and unbeknownst to me, I knew he did it, but he left it there, and I didn't realize that was the tape we were using. So Joe DiStefano and I recorded that song. And so one half of the song is the drum lesson, and the other half of the song is the song. So a little bit of trivia for you there. Hope you enjoyed it. Well, all right, man. I guess I'll let you go so you can get everything in order for tomorrow. But, you know, it was great talking to you, and, you know, hopefully we'll get it set up again real soon.
All right, man. Stay beautiful, cocksuckers.
All right, man. Have a good night.
Peace, baby. All
right, bye. All right, well, there you have it. That was Joey D, one of my very good friends for a very long time. And, you know, that's about it for tonight. If you want to try to find me online, you can find me at utrshow.com. That has everything you need to know to follow the show. If you're on Facebook, facebook.com/underthe radar with Travis McLeod, Twitter at underthe radar PC. You can email the show. The address is underthe radar PC@gmail.com. And, you know, that's pretty much everything you need to know. So thanks for tuning in, and hope you are enjoying the show. And we'll keep on doing it. So we'll see you later.